We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are these things and more, so much more. We pray that you would tune our hearts today so that we may hear your voice to us, speak to us so that we may follow you more wholeheartedly. And we pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. I'm going to take a look this morning at the idea of loving God, but loving God in some different ways. And so the loving God it will be expressed by in this basic idea, responding to the one who loved us first. And we're going to take a look at 1 John, if you'd like to turn there, 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 19. 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through 19. Okay, I'll read those from the New International Version, if you have them there now. I don't have it up so that you can read it, so you'll have to open your Bibles if you want to read along here, okay? Here we go. We know that we live in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And in this way, love is made complete in us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world, we are like him. Verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Now, this is one of the toughest things, I think, at times for us to get a hold of, is the love of God, and to experience it in ways that actually put to rest our fear. The context of this chapter is the Apostle John is teaching much about love, loving one another, and basically saying that the behavior that we have as followers of Christ is evidence of the love of God being at work in us, in our lives. That is one of the premier evidences of Christ at work on the inside of persons. So let's take first at an idea that these are loved us, that we respond to God, the one who followed us or who loved us. And we can do that in the following ways, by responding to God first through communion with him. Communion with God. Would you read, we know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So in a sense, we could respond to the love of God by first recognizing the gift of the Holy Spirit that he gave us, acknowledging that it is by the Spirit that lives within us that in essence is our tutor for life. Jesus said, he will teach what I've said to you. He'll make plain and clear what he said to us. The Holy Spirit in Scripture is talked about is that advocate that prays for us, is also that aspect of conscience, touching our conscience and moral behavior and showing us this is the way to walk, walk in this way. Sometimes that involves yeses and nos and maybe waits, things of that nature. So the Holy Spirit is there to help us in many, many ways. But we're shown here particularly that we are gifted by God through his Spirit. He has given us of his Spirit. So we love God by means of the Holy Spirit that's within us. Holy Spirit is of the same stuff, divine, God himself, as God the Father and the Son. And it is by the Holy Spirit that we have communion with him. And so it says in our text today, we live in him, that our lives are meant to be lived day by day with reference to the fact that God is here with me, stands with me, stays with me, moves with me, shows me how to live, shows me the better life. We are to live led, gifted by God, led by God, empowered by God, because he lives in us, and centered in God, in Christ Jesus in particular. Now, it says, we know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. Do you find the word know troublesome ever? We know that we live in him and he in us. Does the word know ever trip you up? The know is the better way. So we get tripped up by that word N-O at times when God's better or best is yet ahead. Okay? Yes?
I think it sometimes says him giving that to me.
Okay. So know, K-N-O-W, can be a sense of awareness and being tapped into something. But it could be limited. Uh-huh.
Is it my perspective, or is it...
Okay. And that is really what the idea of discernment's about, spiritual discernment. One reason why we have quiet time here on Sunday mornings, so that at least sometime in our weeks, we're planning time to be with God and focus on our relationship with God and just to stop the busyness and listen, to learn to listen. Yes? Okay, so let me just check, see if I've got this right. Sometimes these emotions may go up and down all over the place and are hard to depend on because of that. Yet it's at those moments that often we feel far from God. And what helps you is remembering what God says in Scripture, what God says to you about his involvement with you as a person in Scripture. Is that correct? Okay. That seems like a very important thing, yet something we forget, isn't it? It's something we forget easily, way too easily. These are like in many athletic sports, there are the basics that you have to learn, and then you have to go back over the basics and back over the basics. And I think this may be one of them in the spiritual life, is coming back to ground, the solid ground. So this is not just knowing a lot about, but it is actually knowing a person. Okay? Anything else? Sometimes we moderns think the word know means that we have to be absolutely and completely, without question, sure about everything. And that's not the case. You kind of started with that this morning. But there's enough to know in Scripture for us all to be able to live successfully with him and for him. There's enough to know that can take you a lifetime to plummet, to reach for and to experience. So again, don't get tripped up with the word know as in terms of absolute certainty. And because I don't have absolute certainty, for example, I don't know if I could face the firing squad today for my faith. That's probably an unproductive path to go down. There are things you can know. There are things that Diane talked about revisiting about her faith, the things that she's been convinced of before, the things that were mileposts in her life, these rock-solid places where God has shown up. You know, I've been impressed with the prayers of the people. The prayers of the people here, we've seen some remarkable answers to prayer these last few months. You know, not every prayer is answered, but there have been some remarkable, wonderful answers to prayer. And it's being with God more often and getting hold of God's willingness to do something, I think at times, that you begin to ask, and you begin to ask larger and ask more hopeful, and ask in keeping with His will. So those are things about responding to God's gift of His Holy Spirit within us as an act of love. And it's easy when you find when life is going really good. And it's difficult if you think things are going in a negative direction. The question is, has God changed at all in terms of God's character? We would like sometimes to shake our angry fist at God because things aren't going along just like we wished. But if we are sure poor judgments of what's good for the long term for us. God makes God's good come to us in His time and in God's way. And that's sifted through a Creator's hand who knows you better than we know ourselves. It's difficult when we find it, these difficulties upset our sense of life, and yet God is the same. I'd like to just explore for a moment here how you just know as you pray. Are there any indicators for you that you know Him? Just, yes, you. You know it's Him when He repeats the message constantly. You haven't been listening. Oh, that's, yeah. You're in good company there. Yes. Great. It is. It does help to hear how God is experienced by each other. And in this case, I'm glad you're sharing from what God's been showing you because we're the richer for that. I appreciate the, what would you call, the responsibility that you exercise. I know that you really try to check in about God's leading in your life and when you share it here. And that's another part of kind of a humility that we all have to walk in. If you can't know everything for absolutely sure, then you have to walk in a certain level of humility. And we were talking about that, especially with regard to sharing things with others. To humbly be able to say, I believe that Christ has truly and profoundly changed my life. Would you like to hear about it? And there it starts from the inside and goes out. It's what God has done in my life and goes out to the other person. It also can start by really listening well to what's going on inside the other person and trying to respond with your hope in Christ to the needs and the questions that the other person is expressing at the moment. So those are some things about knowing. The second thing is that we respond to God not only through the Holy Spirit, but also, let's take a look at this as well, living it out. When loving God, when it's easy or difficult, we need to put ourselves in the remembrance that regardless of how we feel, He's still committed to us and He's there. He's committed Himself to us. And when you do seem to just know, to pay attention to those times when God's communication seems right to you, as you mentioned, you felt like the choice, even though it was a no, turned out right. It's good to log stuff like that and to be listening to those things. And then even when He says yes and how that turns out, and if that turns out right, or if there are, what would you call, and probably will be, steering points all the way along. Maybe it's a yes, but there's steering points as we go through this as well. So then secondly, responding to God through the Son. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, that's exactly what they're doing, acknowledging that Jesus sent the Son of God. And so this is a reference to Jesus' unique place. He is God in the sense that God the Father is the God, and the Son is the same nature or character. The Holy Spirit has always and will always be. These three are eternal. These three are different personalities, but they are unique in their fellowship with each other. We have fellowship with each other on a very human level. They have a fellowship together on a divine level. And it speaks to us about the blessedness of good and wonderful fellowship. Acknowledging that Jesus is the sent Son of God. So we learn a divine Father sends his divine Son to us. We are meant to, as it says here, acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And acknowledging that Jesus to those that we can, to anyone who will listen, really. When he says, we have seen and testify, he's talking about, this is my normal course of life. There are times when I get to talk about what I saw when I walked and fellowshiped with Jesus and bear witness to that fact. And so it comes very naturally in this context as well. One of the ways that we love God the Father is to acknowledge his divinely sent Son for our sake, that he is our Savior, and then acknowledge Jesus with those that we can and come in contact with. A third way that we can respond to God is there. It must be on its dying days. Okay. Let's see here. The third thing is releasing our fears. Releasing our fears. How is that a way of loving God? Releasing our fears. I just want to read those verses again quickly. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God and that God lives in him and he in God, and so we know and rely on the love that God has for us, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and he in him. Then he says that we can make love complete as part of the releasing of our fears. When I say make our love complete, I think of something like love goes full circle. In this way, verse 17 reads, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. And the word love, I think, has a couple of connotations here. One is in this sense. When love goes full circle, it accomplishes what it was intended to do at the beginning. Okay? Make it complete. When we complete something, we accomplish something that was intended to be accomplished. Now, what does love suggest? Where does love want to go? Love, according to this text, wants you and me to understand that God loves you in ways you cannot even describe. It's unfathomable. This whole Advent season has been one moment after another to wonder at God's love for us. When love goes full circle, then in God's intent, we would be more confident in him. We would be more encouraged that there is a God who cares for me and cares for me as I am in this world and what I'm facing. That's what happens when love goes full circle. It accomplishes that end, that I'm in the care of my Creator. I'm in the care of my Savior. That's what happens when love goes full circle. It accomplishes that it intends, and it means that we will be more confident in our relationship with God. We release our fears by resting in what God is saying, and God is communicating in word and deed and through his Son, I love you. And then we release our fears by treasuring this good news. We go back over it again and again. If I feel unworthy, if I feel like I have blown it, if I feel like worried that my walk with Christ is compromised to the point of breaking, I can remember that this one, Jesus, died for all kinds of mess-ups that I'm going to have, past, present, and future. There's grace enough for me. And I find rest and hope in that gospel, the good news of Christ. He's made a way for me to be forgiven in him and to walk in his fullness and to find forgiveness in the moment, when and if I fail, or as I fail. So there is that. By treasuring his gospel, we can release our fears. He talks about there's no fear in love. And I think that's part of that is that he wants to entrust his love to us and have his love be a comfort to us. If there were a time where a child who wouldn't be consoled by you, you ever been there where the child seemed inconsolable? That is one of the most wearing things on a parent. Are we consolable, children of God? Does his comfort reach you? You open yourself to him. He wants to reach you with his consolation. So we release our fears because we trust in that good news. He has promised full acceptance in his presence. We also entrust ourselves to God's character. Look in verse 16, it says, God is love. We're talking about a part of God. Love is an enduring part of God. He is where we get our idea of love. True love stands outside you and me. We look to the cross, we look to our Father, and we take his cues. Take cues from them to live the like Christ-like life. So we release our fears as love toward God by treasuring his gospel and by embodying God's love to others. It says in this text, in this world, we are like him. Like him. And so followers of Christ begin to look at the purity that you see in him, his kind of love that was expressed among a wide variety of human beings without honoring the upper class or rich or poor. He ministered to everyone. And by embodying God's love to others, like I say, as we have opportunity. In this world, we're meant to be like him, to reflect these things, fellowship with the Father, love toward others. And then second, just as Jesus abides in the love of the Father, so we are to live and exist in that love. It seems to me that I fare much better every day with the bumps and disappointments of life if I'm walking in a sense of God's care and God's acceptance. Everything goes better. It just does. And it doesn't. When it doesn't go better, often it would be me. It falls on me because God is there. And I don't make myself as available as maybe I ought in those moments, or as we could in this next year. We could do that. So we could treasure him. It says there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Jesus has taken care of that. It's done. So now let's move on with him. And also at the same time, acknowledge that the value that we have comes from the Father. It says we love because he first loved us. But it isn't what we've done. It's what he's done. And it isn't what we've done for others to see. It's what he's done in us that others see something of Christ in. How does knowing this help you on your spiritual journey? Not going to bail. It drives us to know him better. There's, what, great love out there? We've been paddling around the edges. Oh, yes. Like the most important thing, or?
Love.
Yeah. I think I will have to talk with you afterward about that. I'm intrigued where that goes. Thank you. Thank you for that. Anything else? How does knowing this help you in your spiritual journey? Yes. Okay. So it enables us to trust him when things aren't going so well. And very often we get those aha experiences afterward, after things that didn't work out well up here. That's a very good lifelong lesson for those who are youth. Please tag into that one. Yes. Oh, I got a wave from one of the youth. That's a lifelong thing that we're learning. Yes. So to look for the good stuff yet to come. Jesus, thank you for this time. Heavenly Father, thank you for your commitment to us. We are humbled by it again. We acknowledge that there are things, ways that we could act more in keeping with your holy plans and designs for our lives. Remember, too, we are human. Dear Jesus, be our ablest advocate when it comes to our need of prayer. Holy Spirit, come do your good work, your unfailing work, where you show us the way to walk, the way to live. We ask these things in your name. Amen.